There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your setting. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Fangirl Zone. I am Sean Fangirl S, and welcome to the first official solo podcast of Fangirl Zone's relaunch. We are talking today Star Wars, and I have a great group of people with me today, and we are going to start across the way with Leonard, who you may know as the Englishman in San Diego from the UK. Hello, Leonard.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Good. And I did promise everybody a non-spoiler, so you're going to get a one-sentence non-spoiler from everybody first, and then we're going to go in super spoilers. So, Leonard, quick, your one-sentence non-spoiler for Star Wars.
Non-spoiler sentence. One hell of a ride with some questions that need to be answered, but it's certainly a massive relaunch for Star Wars, and it is back.
Okay, and now we're going to New Jersey with Dave the Clone from Hollow Nine.
Well, thank you. May the Force be with you.
Is that your non-spoiler review?
No, I was going to say, that's me buying time to follow the gigantic sentence that was like the starship that we first saw in the first movie that flew overhead. Here. I was like, my one-sentence non-spoilery, literally, you witness the Force awaken.
Ooh. Okay, and I have two folks joining me from, I can't say my great state, but from my state. First, I have from Blurreds on Nerds, Mr. Matt.
Hello, everyone. I don't know where that accent came from. I'm sorry. It came out of nowhere. Hey, everybody. My non-spoiler is that the movie made a lot of money.
Okay. And joining us from another section of my state, Mr. Christopher from Nerd Element.
Hey. Like, non-spoiler, movie good.
And last but not
least. Thank you, Hutch. How are you?
And last but not least, coming to us all the way from the west coast of the U.S., we have from Geek Uprising, Ian.
Hello.
And your non-spoiler.
My non-spoiler review, it's the ice cream that I've always wanted.
Okay, so that was what I promised everybody when I did my first ever Periscope from the theater. And my non-spoiler is, I liked it. Okay, so now, fair warning. There's going to be nothing but spoilers, nothing but conspiracy theories, plot holes, tinfoil hat theories. So if that's not what you want, I would recommend turning this off now.
But thanks for the download, you know. Thanks for looking to find that out already.
So you have 3 seconds if that's not what you want. 3, 2, 1. Okay, we're going into this now.
Oh, shit. Can't believe Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
Okay, so obviously we've all seen it. So I want to ask how many times everybody has seen it. Ian?
Twice. Gonna go for a third time next week.
Dave?
Only once, but so far.
Chris?
Only once so far.
Twice.
Matt?
3 times.
Leonard, are you there?
3 times, and I nodded off halfway through.
I did too, Leonard. I did too.
And I'm gonna say it was because it has been a very, very long week. Mm-hmm. It's in between. I went to see it in between Christmas and New Year, and it was just a very long week. And
you
I
know, that's no excuse.
No, Leonard, I saw it at 7 a.m. and halfway through the film, I was like, I was just so tired. The movie was bad. I was just literally tired.
What's happening now? Where are they?
It was it was really embarrassing as well, because I nodded off about the moment when the gang kind of found Ray on Starkiller, and I was woken up by Ray screaming when basically Han had just been shish kebabbed. That was the rudest awakening I've had in my life. I just, oh, where the hell am I? Oh, okay.
That was a rude awakening just in general, I think, for the audience.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, you're sort of like, oh, this is fucking awesome. Han Solo's what? Why did that shit just happen? What is happening here? Oh, fuck. It's over.
I only seen it twice so far. I do want to go see it in IMAX. I just don't want to see it in 3D. But that's honestly because I wear glasses and contacts, so sometimes it just screws with my head too much.
I've been hearing lots of people saying that it doesn't actually add a great deal in 3D.
That's what I've heard.
I saw it one time in IMAX 3D, and I was like, well, this was nice to add a couple bucks to my ticket price, but they didn't do, like, Prometheus did more 3D stuff, is what I guess
yeah.
I'll say to kind of cover how I felt. Not that the 3D stuff wasn't awesome. I mean, shit, a TIE fighter almost hitting you in the face, that's like, fuck, I'll wait 30 years for that, that's fine.
It just seems like such a ploy to get more money. Yeah. From us consumers are already being gouged anyway. I think the only movie I've seen plenty of movies in 3D. I didn't see Star Wars. I refuse to see this movie in 3D. But the only movie I've seen in 3D that I appreciate was the one that did it first, and that was Avatar. Mm. And ever since then, no one else has really been, in my opinion, been able to master it. I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean did it. Like, all these movies do it, and they film it with a 3D camera, but it's like, what's the value? Besides me wearing another glasses over my glasses. It's a great film. No need for I can experience it very well in 2D.
Okay, well, I'm just not feeling the 3D, and I'm hearing the same as you guys, that it wasn't worth it. That it just, okay, there was a couple things here and there. It was great, but it just wasn't enough.
The film stands up in 2D.
Yes.
I mean, it stands up generally. It just, yeah. But it didn't absolutely need it. But,
well, it almost reminds me of, like, did you guys all see Mad Max Fury Road?
Yes.
Now, 2D. That movie I have only seen in 2D, and there are moments when I'm sitting there watching that movie going, oh, that's some shit they just threw in there so that the 3D would be like, oh, there was something in 3D in this movie, like the steering wheel flying out at the end. And to me, I actually get a little pissed when I see those things when I'm watching it in 2D and when I'm watching it in 3D. I'm like, what the – all this is covering, we would have already cut to more action by now. You know what I mean? Like, we would have cut to something else happening.
Right. And, the spears to the camera kind of moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Look at this pointing at screen. And, yeah.
I think there was one shot in Force Awakens where literally the First Order version of a Star Destroyer was just like, it just popped on screen, and it literally felt like it was about to hit you in the face. You're like, whoa, I could hang my hat, like, right off this. And,
I thought that was cool. I thought that was really cool, but it did need to be in 3D.
That was the only major thing, really.
Yeah.
I don't know, the Jakku, Millennium Falcon fight, and that was rather tight in 3D. That was nice.
You know, like, but, little things.
Well, that gives you more depth, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but like, does it really, like, take the experience to the next level?
Does it take it that $20 more?
$20?
How much do you spend for your glasses, man?
It's like $20.
When I saw it in IMAX 70mm, I saw it in 2D first in a regular theater, and the second time I saw it in IMAX 70mm, and that Jakku fight with the Millennium Falcon, that was amazing when they put it to 70mm. That was amazing. But I feel like, okay, you give me some depth, I'll save my $5.
Right.
I like the gimmicky ones. Like, I like the very first thing where, like, Kylo Ren freezes the laser bolt.
Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
You walk past that. When that's in 3D, you're like, whoa. Like, it felt, again, though, that was the most J.J. Abrams shot in the whole movie. There was lens flare. There was a floating booth thing. And, like, a whole bunch of people looking around like, we don't know what the fuck is going on. And you're like, oh, shit, this is almost like a Star Wars tribute episode of Fringe for a second.
We had some great moments. So let's get to some of the things that happened. and we are questioning it. And I know one of the questions is the First Order. So
okay.
We have the First Order, who apparently is the First Order. It came out of the ashes of the Empire, but were they ever really ashes of the Empire the way they portrayed this?
The one thing that I didn't quite get with that whole setup was just what the background was. Is the First Order now effectively the new rebellion, and the rebellion is now the new government, or the new Jedi, as it were, the new kind of the boys on top? If so, I mean, they managed to if they're the kind of the underdogs, they've got a planet-sized weapon.
Yeah.
Who's funding this thing? I mean,
how did nobody notice that thing?
I constantly am amazed. I'm like, dudes, there is a fucking planet being cracked open.
Nobody noticed, like, POs
being installed in it. Like, you could see it with the naked eye. Look at that. Chairface Chippendale is writing his name on the moon, and we're sitting here doing nothing because, fuck it, we forgot what Jedis were, yo. We forgot.
Yeah, I just feel like the government didn't notice those purchase orders going through.
I mean, how do you test drive that thing? Oh, look, there are stars literally missing.
Right.
On the first run, we're just going to turn it on. It's supposed to suck all the light from the sun right there, which should then make all those other planets just start drifting away, right? Like, is considering the idea of heliocentricity here. I'm just saying, your galaxies are the way they are. Like, what are the fucking physics?
Quit throwing science in.
No, I mean, but you have a really good point. I mean, when this all happened, I was like, is there a prequel that I can read? Like,
yes, but they're going to come out for many years.
Well, yeah, but that's too late. Like, sorry, I'm just going to be completely blunt. Like, that's too late. So when you have something like the First Order wanting to destroy the Republic, it's like, okay, well, why didn't they just destroy them a long time ago if you have this laser? Like, why are you using other planets, like, as a test? Like, why don't you just destroy the resistance planets and kind of just get it over with? It just seemed like it was forcibly delayed for movie's sake because movies.
Yeah.
It's like, that's an obvious plot hole that's like, okay, y'all could have, the First Order could have ended this story a long time ago.
Right.
I mean, I am going to refer to an article I saw in the Huffington Post. I'm sure everybody saw the 40 glaring plot holes of the new Star Wars, and then there's 20 more added to it. And there's all kinds of debate about some of them, and some of them were bullshit. I will flat out admit, like, yeah, totally, dude, that she pulled the wrong switch and those monsters got loose. But one of the things was, what is the tactical advantage of having a planet like this? Like, why is this a better design than the Death Star, which no matter what, this is the third giant fucking machine you guys have built that was able to be blown up like the day you started using it.
Third time's charm.
It's like every grand opening you have gets crashed by the exact people you're trying to kill, because it's just like, fuck, whatever. We always skimp on security that day. It's the whole 30 years of building this shit that we're like, whatever, no one can get in here. But the day of, we're like, oh, by the way, this thing's going to blow up a planet later. Line up. There are seats still available. And you wonder why the bad guys get in.
No, I mean, you bring up great points. Like, and this is like the first time I watched the film, I was all feels like this movie's everything. I've been waiting so long for this film, and then I see it the second time and I'm like, that's weird. And then, but I'm still enjoying it, and I still enjoy it to this day. But even the third time I was like, okay, like, this is not logic. This is literally JJ and X writers are in a room and someone had to have said, well, shouldn't we explain this? And JJ goes, no, we'll worry about it later.
Like, yeah, I mean, the last time Star Wars tried to apply logic to itself, it involved midichlorians.
Oh,
God. This is the polar opposite to that.
Thank God you did not see those in this movie.
But the thing that's sad is, like, I mean, Leonard, you're absolutely right, but it's like, can we find a nice middle ground? I don't consider this middle ground. I consider it the polar. And it's like, these are glaring. If this was a normal movie, this movie would have been ripped apart.
Oh, it would have been absolutely torn a new one. Absolutely.
It would have been. And that's just the truth. Like, but it's a Star Wars, it's like, oh, we're in a galaxy and it's all fantasy and it's a time jump and no one remembers Jedi for some
that's
reason.
Crazy. That's the oh, that pissed me off. So now, yes, girl, I'm gonna make the same caveat you did, Matt. I'm gonna say I love the movie. Okay, guys, Star Wars has been a part of my life since as long as I can remember. It's the first. The New Hope is the first movie I remember watching as like a 3 to 4 year old. You know, so Star Wars is very near and dear to me. That said, there are things that I feel like. In love, we can say, yeah, unfortunately, that didn't fucking work. And it almost, in some ways, starts to feel like the story for this game, I mean, this game, this movie, this almost like
the game of sabers.
Well, thank you. It is like...
It's like a discarded video game script that they were like, well, hey, we could, like, beef this up a little bit and actually make the movie, right? You know, it's, like, it's kind of parallel to the first movie. There's this, you know, pilot...
I'm getting started on that.
Together. So it almost sounds like something that would have been, like, a generic, almost the Path of Luke run-through that you would play on PS4 or something, you know?
Well, I find it... Yeah, I find it.
Look
find
on
it,
that, LucasArts. We want the game.
I do find it interesting that the way that they said these particular stormtroopers that the First Order has, they're basically all stolen as children. Yeah. Nobody's saying anything. Nobody's like, these assholes keep taking my kids.
Yeah.
I know it's a pretty big galaxy, but maybe somebody might have noticed thousands upon thousands of children being taken and nothing's being said. And if you do have the government, which is the Republic, which does get blown to shit, literally, maybe
the
they would have
do this.
Maybe,
basically.
Well, no, because the Jedi was like, we can take your child to be trained. We're not like, we're stealing your child. If you don't want to, I guess we don't have to. But if you turn your head, I might take them anyway. But... It just seemed kind of odd, because we finally find out that it's not just a clone army, because we have Finn.
Thank God.
Yeah.
But the clone armies are still out there.
I'm still pissed about what the... the Clone War, before any of those movies came out, was just this thing of legend. And again, it's like the logic that was applied to it just made it so that... Like you said, thank God Finn's not a clone. We're so afraid of all these things that were done to this thing that we love, like in our later adolescence here, that we're just like, everything is suspect. And, you know, it is. It's like First Order equals Third Reich. But do we not think maybe some of that mystery is left to be explored over the next two films? Or
I completely agree. I think with, you know, the Easter eggs that JJ purposely put in the film was like to establish, like, we know that Finn is not a clone. He was kidnapped as a child. I'm hoping with this huge market push for Captain Phasma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For you to have her as, to be in all the marketing, to have her own toy, to have her going all on these market trails or, advertising the film, and she's literally in 7 minutes of the film, I'm hoping that her and Finn will have a parallel story in episode 8 that draws from their past together. That's my hope.
You're thinking, so we're already starting to get into crazy theory territory, which is fucking awesome. Are you saying that you think that she is sort of like Finn, like she's having this, you know, Force Awakening type reaction to what am I doing with this empire, this new empire? Doing here, you know?
That's a great question, but I wouldn't go that far, but I feel like you push such a character that had such little value in the film. Maybe that's to set her up for the next film, meaning because I'm hoping that, you know, when you watch it, like, let's for instance, take the show Supernatural, for instance, the first episode or the first season was Monsters of the Week, right? Mm-hmm. There was no type of arc. It was just these two brothers that go out just doing stuff. You just know them on a superficial basis. Then as you go to season 2 or season 3 or episode 8 to parallel it with Star Wars, you start to get this depth for each character, the meta for the characters, their origin stories, what makes them them. And I'm hoping that Finn's, well, everyone's, but for Phasma and Finn, that we explore that backstory. Because I know she's not dead.
Oh, no. God, yeah.
Tin can or whatever they say, trash compactor. So
no body, no crime, man.
Right.
I'm just now thinking this whole relationship thing between Finn and Phasma, that you've got some strange history background going off in the background. That they had a romance and it just kind of broke up. And,
No, I'm serious. I episode 8 like really dives, not really like it's a solo film, but explores that history, because we do want to know, like you said, Sean, like this is like a pandemic. Like people's kids are getting kidnapped, like, well, all over the world or galaxy, and no one's saying anything.
I think what they're doing, they can't explain everything in the movie. They're doing the new extended universe, and I think you have to read that to get some backstory. I'm reading oh crap, what was it?
Well, see, I thought the EU was mostly thrown out.
No, there's a new one.
There's a new one.
It was thrown out so they could sell us new shit is what's going on.
They're pretty much coming, yeah.
I mean, how much of the new EU is actually relating to this film?
There's going to be a new trilogy. Star Wars, it's called Star Wars Aftermath. I'm slowly reading it. I hate the writing.
Wait, is it comics or is it novels?
Novels. It's novels.
And comics.
In comics, yeah. So everything's interweaving.
Just why do I bother asking? If you're alive, you're breathing it. It's Star Wars. It's in the cereal. You need to eat the cereal.
No! I want the cereal.
You have to look through your own shit for the secret message. That's how it works.
Let's go way back, way, way back to the original Star Wars. I remember this C-3PO cereal, and it was horrible, but I insisted on having it multiple times. I don't know. I just remember it being god-awful.
So my
and that's why I can't get the new stuff.
So my question is, with this Aftermath, this Star Wars Aftermath, this is a prequel before The Force Awakens.
This is what happened to the Empire.
So, but is this going to answer my questions for 7?
I'll let you know eventually, when I'm done reading it.
So I've heard some stuff. Are we allowed to talk about stuff we've heard? Or, well, I mean, I don't want to actually spoil you if it's past where you are in those, but have you seen anything about Naboo in what you've read so far?
Honestly, no. I've only gotten to chapter 2 and I fell asleep.
Then won't tell you what I've heard.
That's not good if you're falling asleep 2 chapters in.
I know.
No. All right, now... go ahead.
No, I was very curious about that because, I mean, in this film, it completely ignores the prequels entirely. I was just wondering how much of the EU was actually dealing with the prequels because, and this is the reason why I've been a little bit quiet since it was dissed a little bit earlier. I'm a prequels apologist.
What?
I am a prequels.
That's like finding out had a traitor in our midst. Like, what the fuck?
We have a stormtrooper.
There has to be one. I mean,
okay. So, well, explain though what you mean exactly, Leonard, for everybody listening.
Well, I'm curious. Like you say, I mean, the whole thing of the prequels was completely ignored in this film. But I already have my little theory of Rey being midichlorians, another pure
virgin birth.
Oh, another new generation of the.
I was totally hoping that this new trilogy would totally fucking fix all that shit because I hate, like, to the core of every that, like, from that moment, like watching episode 1 in the theater, as soon as this midichlorian shit came up, I was like, whoa, no, this is not fucking hap. So someone that, oh god, fucking bugs, it's microscopic, but it's dust mites, is that a fucking I was so furious, and I mean, I think you can do so much more with it being this unknown force that could still create life. You know what I mean? Like the universe. She's the Neo anomaly of the universe. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, they truncate enough of those mathematical equations, and they wind up with a one that just doesn't fit anywhere else, and it can like manipulate the whole matrix. Like to me, that's how I have to retcon the whole prequels trilogy for myself. Like, I'm like, this is just their, and I think I read somewhere that this is sort of the route they're going to go in the new films, is that, well, midichlorians is just the sort of science answer to, like, how the Force works, and it's just, like, part of the Force. Like, the Force is still, like, more mythical and mythological and fantasy, yeah. but that's yeah. some way our fragile minds had to use our science to disprove magic and test, you know what I mean? So you could say, oh, sign your kids up for midichlorian testing. Let's root out who all the new Jedis are going to be, you know?
You know, it's kind of funny because if going with what Dave just said with that, like some kind of testing, it reminds me a lot of Divergent. When, you know, they're testing yeah. people to see what they are because they don't want these certain groups. And, I mean, you kind of have, and I don't remember his name, the Harry Potter kid, who was like the general that Puffs. Was spitting on everything. It's like he general got so excited.
yeah. We are going to destroy the universe to yes. you with this one!
I'm like, that, if anybody needs a downer...
Just to let everyone know, by the way, that's him saying that, and that's not me. That was not me doing
Jersey.
That.
The thing is, like, I didn't understand, why did he need to bring everybody together for that speech? It was yeah. such a waste of a scene. I'm like...
That
because he was totally, crazy.
Does that not call into question how, like, maybe the First Order really isn't that big? You know what I mean? Like, this could be... them saying,
we have a dick and it works and we're going to use it. Today's the day we prove
it. Okay, so let me ask you this.
Like, yeah, because we're flying around shooting up villages and shit. I feel like we're the bad guys right now. Nobody knows who we are. Oh, they'll know. They'll know today.
let me bring this question then, because I thought the First Order maybe is small, but if that's the case, then they're all dead.
Right, yeah. yeah. Their first move, they're like, hey, we're here to fuck! Get our asses kicked!
So I'm assuming episode 8 is dedicated to the Knights of Ren, like they'll be the villains for the entire film. I don't know.
That should be interesting.
I kind of have a theory on the title of episode 8.
Okay, go ahead.
Knights of Ren?
No. episode 8, Billy Dee Williams' Revenge.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Well, oh, have we all heard the spoiler about who Finn's father is?
No.
Well, we know. Yeah. Oh, we know. Okay, no, go on.
Oh.
I mean, it's officially confirmed, and this is a.
I've seen memes.
It's a marketing thing, like a toy, a puzzle, or some shit was released that basically says Finn, whose famous father is Lando Calrissian. Like, it's like literally like Finn Calrissian, you know, son of the famous Lando Calrissian.
What?
And you're like,
wow.
Let it go.
Well,
for
like I said, there's one other black guy in the galaxy. We don't know who his father has yeah. to be.
Guys,
yeah. I'm sorry, but this is right up there with what I was about to say with Rey. I don't actually want her to be a Skywalker. I don't want either. Finn
that's
to be.
That's actually what I was going to get into with Rey.
I don't need to. It shrinks the universe so much. I want it to be opened up a bit more.
But I do want to say this, and Disney has made this official, or Lucasfilm/Disney has made this official, that every Star Wars movie you will see, whether it's a prequel or the main trilogy, will center around the Skywalkers. The Skywalkers will not leave this.
So
this
it really movie. Is one family just fucking up the whole universe.
It really is one family that's fucking up the entire. Mm-hmm. And they say that
it's
they
like,
will not leave.
Like, it's
they
like
will not
maybe
leave.
They need counseling, and then we wouldn't have wars.
I hope Rey is not
fucking Skywalkers. But
they're also like still. Not. At least they're changing the names though. Like, you know, I yeah. know. Ben was not a Skywalker. He was an Organa or a Solo at the very, you know what I mean? Like, so he may be of Skywalker descent, but unless Luke has another son, which if he hasn't
okay,
done
wait.
That already,
wait.
The Skywalker name is going to end, you know?
See, this is where I wanted to go in with theories on Rey, and I have one. And mine's based on, apparently, the EU that got thrown out. Because in the previous books, the EU, Mara Jade.
Yes.
Was.
Mara Jade.
was married to Luke. Now, I don't know everything because I didn't read all those books. Now, I believe she was a dark Jedi that was working for the Empire. Am I right? Whoever
sent
read?
To assassinate Luke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was my theory that I had to quietly talk about. Because I didn't want people to freak out when we were in a restaurant, because like everybody was there from the movie, that Luke was training Padawans,
mm-hmm.
that there, you know, Ben Solo was there and basically fucked it all up and started killing Padawans.
Fucking Ben.
Mara Jade is actually part of this, that they haven't brought her in, but she found out she was pregnant with Luke's child when all that shit happened because he was off-world training Padawans. She's like, I gotta get the hell out of here. And she had the baby, and that's why Leia had a connection, because she went to Leia and Han to find a way to hide the baby. And she trained her the best she could along with Leia when she was little, and Leia was the reason that they put her on Jakku, because she knew that Ben totally went off the edge and would had heard about another child who was being trained, but she wasn't.
I feel like
Luke.
One of the most uncreative people on Earth, because I do not think of that shit while I'm watching these movies. Like, who is she? Where the fuck is she from?
The thing is, like, so Sean, what you're saying, I've read that on. See, the thing is, Reddit can teach you so much, but also take you to a completely different universe.
That's if someone makes dark web.
Did somebody actually have this theory already? Because I
someone
just
had this theory, and
I came up with my brain right myself.
No, I mean, you can. You agree with Sean? I praise your originality. I think you're amazing. But people are really, they critically think about these things. And my whole thing was, if that's the case, why did Han nor Leia remotely acknowledge her? Han kind of did, but it was kind of weird.
Yeah, and this is where I was going with that.
I feel like the offering her a job, Han knew who she was.
See, I thought Han knew something, but didn't recognize her. And I thought Leia, because of the whole Force thing, that's why that hug lasted a little longer and went a little deeper, because Leia realized who she was. Because you're not, I mean, when you see a child, and this is the question, how old Rey was, because I can't. I'm thinking like 5 or 6. Some people were thinking 4.
When they dropped her off, you mean?
Yeah.
When the ship was flying away, I think
so.
Like,
you're not necessarily going to look exactly the same. And so that it wasn't until after, when Leia finally realized who she was, and that's why, you know, the hug was a little longer, that she knew that they were family without, you know.
Well, she's also
really
like,
don't like the idea of that.
She's a follower. Like, whoever Rey is, she's a follower of the Jedi lore. So, like, we have to kind of start there with, like, I feel like everything I've seen online completely ignores what I thought was one of the most significant lines, is when she goes, "You're Han Solo." Like, she knows who Han Solo is. You know what I mean? Like there's, like, it's she's got a fucking TIE fighter helmet in her little junk apartment, and, like, she knows
yeah,
about
she,
this
that was
shit.
A rebel, huh?
Yeah, but she
knows about
the Millennium Falcon. Not the war hero. It's stuff of legend.
Yeah. Right, so right.
Why
Leonard.
Is she all by herself in this remote part of the world, but knows all this stuff at the same time? You know what I mean? Like,
because everyone knows.
Well,
it's, right. It's like everyone knows about Sherlock. Okay, you can get bounced.
Not everybody does know, though. You know, like, when Han has to say everything you've heard is true, it sort of, to me, was like, it's almost as if somebody actively removed the pop culture knowledge of...
from everybody.
Yeah, somehow they brainwashed a lot of people, or all entertainment became like a big mind wash of no more Jedi, no more old Empire, follow the new First Order, or something along...
Well, like, surely the Jedi are pretty much dead at the end of episode 3. I mean, it's really a forgotten religion, as it says in New Hope.
Yeah, but I mean, look at Return of the Jedi. Look what that did. And it's like, clearly Han is still alive. It's been a couple decades. Like, it's not like it's been hundreds of years.
And he looks fabulous.
Yeah, he looks fabulous.
He does look the best out of them all. Like, Leia. Yeah.
I don't know. I had a bit of a crush on Luke at the end.
That beard was so manly.
Oh, man. He looked so really creepy.
Yeah, he looked like he was touching the Padawans, and they made him leave.
A little bit. But it's just like, you know, that's another thing. It's like, that's a huge plot hole. It's like, okay, it's been 20 years, movie time. Like, I mean, in sure. Universe time. And it's like, you have mind wiped everybody. Like, they're not 12. You have people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Like,
I think it was more that everybody was afraid to talk about it, because when the Knights of Ren end up coming up, they're basically killing everybody. And they probably had heard more about everything that happened with Kylo killing all these people. And they're like, we better not talk about it, because he's killing all the supporters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you can kind of parallel that with, you know, like World War II, like people knew that the Nazis were doing shit, but they didn't talk about it.
Yeah, it's much more overt parallel with the Nazis, like First Order equals Third Reich. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
now it's on. Like we are uncomfortable.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what they've kind of done in the new EU is that the Empire so far they haven't really had an ending for it, and a lot of these planets that have been they're just Imperial rule. All their news comes from the Empire, and the Empire is saying that the Death Star didn't blow up. The rebellion has been crushed. The Emperor is still alive. And that's, as far as these people know, that's what's really going on. And so if the Empire is never completely squashed, and then the First Order comes out of what that was and takes over where the Empire left off, a lot of these planets have been, for 50 years, they've never seen or heard of anything of Jedi. All they know is this Imperial rule that just changed hands from one guy to another.
Okay, so let
and
me ask
just
you
been force fed me, this their whole lives.
But let me ask you this. I mean, Chris, that's a very educated guess or a real statement. It could come
it sounds like you know that.
Not only educated guess.
A lot of it's been released in the books and stuff. But that's so far.
Okay. Like, but how am I supposed to know that? I've never read the books. How am I supposed to know that?
Right.
Yeah, I haven't.
The books, like it was before.
Mm-hmm.
See, to me, that
everything.
You could easily have done that in two sentences in that crawl at the beginning.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, how, like, I appreciate Chris and others that read the comics and know the lore and know all the EU, but I don't know that. So when I go see the film, I have all these questions, and I shouldn't have to look at someone and be like, well, yeah, you should know this because you should read the comics. No,
right.
It doesn't work that way.
Is it even if you think about why is the fact that Luke Skywalker has vanished even a big fucking deal at this point? You know what I mean? Like, it literally felt like it was just business as usual a lot of the places that they went. You know what I mean? Like, Maz Kanata's cantina probably does not give a shit who's running the show until they show up to blow the place to pieces. You know what I mean? They're just like, whatever, man, 1,000 years. That's, you know, you last 1,000 years by not giving a fuck. That's what you do. Right. Just pay the taxes, whoever comes up to fucking collect them, and just make sure that everyone gets laid and drunk in your place as much as possible.
Which, I have a question about that. Why would you leave a freaking lightsaber in an open box?
God.
It wasn't in an open box. It was downstairs in like the sealed room.
Yeah.
It just happened to be the whole, you know, force thing.
I say
started kicking in.
Yeah, it opened for her.
Yes.
I think.
For her, yeah.
See, like the way Lando turned, you know, the way Finn turning out to be Lando's kid is like so surface level. Like, yeah, how the fuck was it going to be anything else? A lot of it, I feel like we want it to be this deeper, crazy thing. And it's really like, yo, guys, we just got to get to the next scene. It opened because she's special. Moving on, you know what I mean? Like, that's a little bit how it felt at times with this one. You're like, damn.
Yeah. When I watched the film, that's what I felt actually the entire time, Dave, was like, because I'm JJ.
Yeah.
I'm JJ, bitches.
Like, looking at Kylo Ren, like, the first scene of the film to me was to quantify how powerful Kylo Ren was.
Mm-hmm.
And then you jump to the end, and everything happens, and you're like, wait.
Well,
wasn't he like
when he gets his ass handed to him by barely picks up a lightsaber
like a rookie Jedi?
Then I reflect at the beginning, I'm like, but that's kind of hypocritical. Yes, I know he was shot, I understand that, but still, like, you could have killed Finn with a force choke. You clearly broke Rey's back when she hit that tree. I don't know how she said that, but whatever. So it's like, how are you know? But so there was some to me, there was some hypocrisy in the writing, but it's like, JJ wrote things like, I'm just going to write it because, just to get to the next scene, just to progress,
It felt a little like, and I've seen this online too, but I feel like maybe because I was such a huge Lost fanatic and feel like that's my basis for everything when it comes to J.J. Abrams and like the whole Birth of Bad Robot in this like sort of mystery cliffhanger keep you wanting more style of storytelling, I think that's a lot of what we're feeling was like, we have to just get as much cool shit in here to get them asking, well, what was that? Well, why is that? Well, then what? But it's not like a TV show where next week we get more answers and then the following week there's more questions. We're waiting years between these things now. Like, the next movie that comes out is going to be either a spinoff or a prequel that doesn't touch any of the shit we're talking about, you know? Like,
well, yeah, Rogue One's supposed to be a prequel, right? It's not even going to tie in with...
Yeah, right.
It's before New Hope.
But now, so... and like, like, you know, having only seen it once, I walked out of the theater with a lot of, like, the feel aspect of, like, holy shit, that was awesome. It's new Star Wars. And going home and going, well, you know, there's some things that I'm thinking about. Like, yo, Kylo Ren was such a fucking whiny brat. Like, he was a better whiny brat than Anakin was in the prequels. But ultimately,
Sand is better, a better whiny brat than Anakin in the prequels.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but at the same time, you're left thinking this was the same movie. If we're going to do trilogy for trilogy, the first movie was where you establish, like, a guy who's the most badass fucker in the universe. Darth Vader scared you just by his name. And Kylo Ren was, like, throwing fucking hissy fits the whole time.
I liked it. Yeah. You don't know where he's coming from. He's a snaky son of a bitch. I liked that.
I agree. I liked it too. Up until he took his mask off, and then I was like, "You lost it for me." Because all I think about was how gorgeous his hair was, how much acne he had, how young he looked, how pretty he looked. I was just like,
"What is this shit?"
I'm not attracted to any. Like I lost all of the persona that was created for this character as soon as he took off that 10,000 ton helmet.
And he didn't have helmet hair. I'm just saying.
And he didn't have helmet hair. So how did you do that, bro?
The Force.
I think if he'd kept the helmet on, then it would have been a little bit more.
Yeah.
It'd been awkward because at the end of the day, we've developed this relation or this, we've been told this relationship between Han, Leia, and this is the kid. And if we didn't see a human face there, and then we would have been disappointed just by any of it. When you were talking about the script and about the plot holes and the questioning that you're forced with when you're leaving the cinema, I mean, that's what I thought Lawrence Kasdan was brought on board for. I mean, we all talk about that J.J. Abrams was behind this whole thing. And yet, I thought that's what Lawrence Kasdan was there for, to kind of flesh it out, to give us that humanity that we had in Empire Strikes Back, that's what he was there for.
I think that's why this one felt the most like a Star Wars film for the first time since Return of the Jedi. I mean, really, it's like those prequels did not feel like Star Wars movies after the first 10 minutes are over. You're like, okay, so this is a whole different fucking thing here. Like, it's Star Wars, but like next gen, you know? It's like this. It's like when 90210 went to college and you're like, what the, why are we?
When the Rugrats grew up, you're like, what? Yeah.
This is bullshit. And it was just, I think it watered things down. This felt like it was an old, a familiar flavor. It was like, wow. And I think sort of pointing out how different Kylo Ren is to the way Darth Vader was being portrayed at this point in the two trilogies is showing how in this 30 years later, everything forgotten, the Force is only just awakening, it's raw. Like, everybody's power is raw. You know, even though we know that he has this Snoke guy, which fucking worst name in the movie, congratulations.
I keep screwing it up, by the way.
It's terrible. It's like, what? It's better than Jar Jar, but... But it's showing what we were always warned about by people like Yoda and Obi-Wan, that like if you are too undisciplined and too just like giving over to your feelings all the time, you're going to be you're going to slash up a whole room of LCD screens. You're going to throw out a fucking chair. Like, they're like, we have this bill of damage that we have to give Kylo Ren's like people, because like every time we put him on a ship, like he destroys 5 offices. There's like 6 suites that need to be re-fucking furniture.
I like the fact that the guy's got a reputation as well. 2 stormtroopers got, oh god, Kylo Ren's off on one again.
Yeah, they like snuck away. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back away, Dave. Back away, Dave.
I did like that they had to throw in a little bit of humor here and there.
This was a funny film.
Yeah, you had that moment. You had this. So who speaks first? Me? You? What?
Yeah. You definitely, like, when he did that, when Poe did that, I was like, this is a Marvel film. As soon as that happened, I was like, I don't mean that as a condescending thing. I'm just like, this is, or a bad thing. It's just like, okay, this is definitely Marvel. Like,
yeah, Marvel. Everything's the same roof. Everything's starting to, you know, feel and sound and taste the same.
Yeah.
Okay, I want us to go to the theories on why Kylo Ren / Ben Solo is what he is, because I've heard a couple he is fighting the light because he was really light and he thought, okay, this is a way to get in and help the rebels, which I think that's kind of far-fetched. That
I'm not buying that one at all.
Right, and that he had to kill his dad to make his bones. But I'm like, that's really, really reaching.
So why is it? Okay, so let me ask the question. Why is that reaching?
If midichlorians are creating life.
Okay, wait. Okay.
Dust bites are the force. I mean, shit, guys. Like, really.
I feel like he was just really emotional. He's kind of like emo. And that he thought being Sith was so much cooler. And that I don't think it was, I'm really good and I'm doing this undercover. And Dad understands that I have to kill him for Snoke to really accept me. I think that's reaching.
Yeah, I'm not buying that one at all.
If Lando is Finn's dad, that's ridiculous. The Lando defense. If Chewie's don't like something on that door, if Lando is Finn's dad, then that's ridiculous.
So what did you hear, Matt? Yeah.
I mean, that's the one theory that I'm hearing consistently is that Kylo is undercover, whatever you want to call it, whatever the right word is. And that when he had his conversation with his father, Han, about, you know, I'm struggling and I don't know if I can do this. Will you help me? That was like code or meta for, you know, do whatever it takes. And then Han was like, whatever you need. It was like, okay, I need to prove to Snoke that. And we've seen this.
I thought he was just proving to himself.
It could be that too, but he also had to prove it. He had to prove it because they had that dialogue. That dialogue was put into the film between him and Snoke that this is going to be your biggest test. And you need to prove to me that you are on the dark side. So I feel like I wouldn't be surprised. I would be mad if they went that way. It's like, okay, cool. Like, that's all right. Whatever.
Not with that fight sequence. Not the fight at the end. That guy's got too much. He's got too much of his grandfather in him. That's the way I read it. And that's the way I read the character of Kylo Ren. That, I mean, the natural assumption is that, okay, you're born to the Skywalker name, that you're going to be, you've got this natural affinity to the light side, et cetera, et cetera. No, at the end of the day, Anakin was a twat, and this guy's a twat. Yeah. And he just takes after his granddad.
It's but also, like,
you know what? It's Owen and Beru are the best fucking parents in the entire and anyone who didn't leave their kids with Owen and Beru for at least a couple holidays throughout the growing up period, their shit went haywire. Fucking haywire. Like, off the charts. Two Sith Lords in the same line and one bright light in the middle. That's crazy. It's crazy.
I think it's like he's also looking to Darth Vader's mutilated helmet to advise him and guide him, to give him strength. But didn't Darth Vader turn to the light?
He did.
I feel like say that again?
Nobody witnessed it except Luke.
This is true. But we did as viewers. So it's like, I mean, you can't like butt that because viewers saw that. So it's like, why are you idolizing someone that went to the light? I don't think Luke was going to tell him in episode 9, like, hey, you know, he went to the light, by the way, loser. Like, you know, I think this is something that's, it's possible they could revisit the fact that he did go to the light, and that's something that is the meta or the deep part of Kylo Ren's.
I think we need to see what happened to create the Knights of Ren
and to create Kylo.
We need to know more.
We need to see, we need to see what led to the schism within the new Jedi Academy. And this is all shit that, to me, I feel like we as seasoned Star Wars people, even if we didn't know there was an EU in comic books, you just have to assume that's what makes sense, okay? Like, Obi-Wan and Yoda went into exile, I guess waiting until the time was right to somehow find a new hope that would bring balance to the Force. Yeah, so once that happens, though, you're supposed to continue on that like upward momentum and restore the balance, and you need, obviously, the Jedi Knights are part of that.
Yeah, but we've also got to accept the one fundamental fact that Luke is a crap Jedi. he's very, very bad at it. He didn't complete his training. His master died when he was halfway through it. He's a crap Jedi.
And his sucks compared to everybody from the prequels. That was the other thing the prequels to me. It was like, you guys are going with this Japanese samurai style sword fighting. Then you try to watch the old trilogy after, and you're like, it is literally like old men swinging broom handles. Dude, it's like, really? Is this just because you haven't had anybody to fucking lightsaber duel with in forever? You forgot your moves? Like, what? Oh, it was crushing. And it's going to be nice to see that coming back, because clearly these guys are. They have a little bit of both going on. I mean, even Finn was like, let me try this shit.
Yeah, can someone explain that to me, please? How on earth can two people who have never even seen a lightsaber before suddenly take on a guy who, last time I checked, was being trained by Luke Skywalker? Crap Jedi.
There
you go, Leonard.
He's so bad.
And Kylo's too raw. He's too driven by his emotions. He can't. Like, Obi-Wan could always focus everything. Yoda could focus.
Okay, now they have said, though, in the previous ones, that the Sith, I know, the Sith were basically run on their emotions. And that's why the Jedi were supposed to be better. And really, I think there has to be a balance between the two. And I'm hoping that somehow that's going to come out in the next ones. Now, I have not watched the Clone Wars or Star Wars Rebels. I don't know if anybody's watched those cartoons.
Ooh, they're really good.
So, does it explain anything, whoever's watched that?
Because
I know it's not just one Jedi, because they make mention that if they find Skywalker, the rest of the Jedis will rise up and come back. So it's not just that...
I mean, we have to assume that Max von Sydow's character could have been... a Jedi, right? Like a Jedi in hiding or something?
Oh, I never thought of that.
See, because I thought, that's yes.
He mentioned that he always thought of the Organa as royalty instead of a general. So it's like he's definitely from the old Republic, you know? And
right.
He had that look almost, and that he knew Kylo before he called himself Kylo Ren.
That was one of the big theories.
I hated that. That what a waste of a brilliant actor. What a waste of a great character. I hated that.
I was trying to
the one in the first scene. Right?
Yes, I was searching my memory, trying to remember him in the 1, 2, or 3. Now was he?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Brand new.
Yeah.
Okay. Brand so new. I'm glad
in
I
fact,
just.
In fact, that scene had the old standard like couple opening scenes of like really shitty dialogue, like childish dialogue almost, like. Hi, Poe. Are you ready to go on your mission? Yeah, old guy whose name I'm not going to say. I'm ready to go on my mission. It's really important for the rebels. Yes, I know. We have to defeat the new First Order. And I'm sitting there going, fuck, they did it to us again.
And I thought that too, and I saw it the third time. I was like, this is such a throwaway opening because...
Like, why?
You could have opened the film with Poe already being captured. You could have already set the stage.
Yeah.
Like, you could have cut that all out if you wanted to. I mean, I did... Only reason I see value in that scene was to quantify Kylo's power.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It gets BB-8 on his way. It gets Poe captured. I have no problem with that scene.
It's more the, with that scene. I think for me, though,
the dialogue,
like when you,
just the dialogue yeah. is put away.
And go yeah. back to the other scene you mentioned with the whole who talks first, me, you. It's like such a contrast in styles of like George Lucas old, everything's just expository, we're saying our thoughts, to hi, I'm a new character and I've got an attitude. I'm like gonna be the new Han Solo if you guys can't figure that out already. You know? It's like sort of, and I think that's gonna be something they're gonna have to find a way to temper and balance better, and that otherwise we're gonna have a lot of opening scenes or scenes I think in general that are gonna feel that sort of throwaway level of like, did we need this? Like, couldn't we have seen Phasma walking up to the camp during that and talking about how they're going to slaughter everybody so that we get that she's this imposing character or something? Like, little things like that are going to bother me just because...
But then, Dave, just to clarify, an imposing character that gets taken down in a millisecond...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she rolls. Like, she rolls yeah. in that movie. Yeah.
Gives no. Maybe she wants Solo. Maybe she, like, you know what I mean? Like since these are people now instead of clones, we can have, like, they can have these little, like, Finn's clearly in love with Rey. Maybe Phasma's got, like, weird fetishes or some shit, and she's just like, this is gonna be awesome. Han Solo's gonna beat the crap out of him.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just like, it's just
yeah,
a
I
lot.
Bring that shit to the podcast, guys.
But no, I value this thing, please. I just, there's just so many questions. I think a number of them, I think we have to live in a reality that a number of them will be answered in the coming films, but a lot of them will never be answered unless you read all the EU and maybe you'll find all the answers, but I won't. I'm not going to lie to myself.
If it's not on screen, I'm not interested.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
Okay, let me qualify that. I'll be reading the comics and I'll read a couple of the books, but that's not the story. The story's on screen, and if it's not explained on screen, then what's the point?
What's the value?
Right, can't expect everybody to go into the EU.
You shouldn't have to.
There have definitely been things about the other side of Star Wars, like the commercial, like toys and, you know, product, you know, side of Star Wars that throughout my entire life, even growing up, like seeing friends, like my friend had the Millennium Falcon, awesome toy, can't wait to get that. But then there were ones that you're just like, why the fuck are they making this? Like they make these little, there was a whole rant, you know, a model of the entire Cloud City, but it was these little metal, like, token characters. You're just supposed to set it up and look at it. I'm like, what the fuck kid wants to play with that as a toy?
Congratulations, like, you've just explained Hot Wheels to me.
And, like, there are things that you just were like, why? You know, and it almost felt like some of the marketing and the products were, like, so on the lame side that it's sort of... I never felt that when I would watch the movie, though. You know what I mean? The movies would always just quell that feeling. And I feel like because of that, I actually throughout my life stayed away from things like extended universes and novels.
Yeah, I did.
So I was just like, fuck it, man. It's the movies, and they're awesome, and I don't want to have to do any homework outside of that.
To evolve on that, to expand on that, what you said, Dave, like, this is a Marvel franchise now. It is. I mean, Lucas, Disney. But they're all under the same umbrella. I apologize. But Marvel, taking, for instance, the comics of the extended universe, the expanded universe of the movies, you can see all of the MCU films and not feel that you're losing value. If you want to invest more time in Iron Man or Thor or insert character, you can read that. But Star Wars has taken the opposite approach, or Lucasfilms is like, well, yeah, we have these movies, but if you have all these questions, you should read the comics. And if you don't want to, then you're fucked. Sorry.
Like, yeah, I feel that way, and I really wish that they will explain more, kind of like...
I mean, General Grievous, right? We're talking about General Grievous. Is that what's going... Is that kind of what, like, High Leader Snoke feels like right now? Because with the way they were referring to him, I kept feeling like there must have been a scene that got cut out or I missed some transition or some shit. Like, I feel like there's just some little thread missing. I love everything else, but what the fuck? Why is there a giant? Why is there a giant?
Okay, well, to be fair, the hologram, they showed the Emperor giant, too. But now they're saying that he may well be a giant, and people are freaking out. Why didn't we see them before?
That was the feeling I had leaving the theater. Yeah. Like I said,
I did quite like the theory that in actual fact Snoke is Yoda size and he's just he's compensating with his.
I just saw the Emperor as a giant. It was just his head. So you got that feeling like he could be a normal sized guy and he's just doing the Godhead moment of the Emperor.
Well, this Leonard's right. He is actually Yoda size and he's just his whole body is like. On screen.
I just feel like that if there are these gigantic characters who are this aligned with the dark side of the Force, that it gave it a little bit too much of a Lord of the Ringsy kind of feel to me, where I'm like, well, now what is this shit? We got giants and magic and
like
all
the battle of the five armies. Like,
yes, like here.
Well,
we go.
I mean, there's a lot of species. There's a lot of species that we haven't seen, like. You know, and I'm assuming that maybe in the cartoons or something they explore more of them or they talk about it. Because, okay, look at Maz's cantina. First of all, what frickin' species is Maz? Although she reminds me of Rose from the Golden Girls.
Yoda. When she takes off that hat and glasses, she could turn out to be a Yoda. That would be
crazy. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole, one of the big criticisms about the film, that it was this mirroring of the original trilogy, and we had characters which you could just direct lineation with this film, and the fact that it did tie in, it did flow so much like New Hope, and you had characters. So you had Maz as the Yoda, you had Poe as the Han Solo. I mean, what was everyone's take on that? I mean, I tell you, at the moment when I nearly flipped for it is when Han and the boys, they land on Starkiller, and Kylo Ren turns around and goes, Han Solo. You know, he senses him. I nearly fell into turn around. If he'd have turned around and said, "I felt a presence
that I haven't felt since.
I haven't felt yeah. since." Dot dot dot. Yes. I would have been okay. I'm going to go for a slash now. I'm going to go to the toilet. give me 10 minutes. I've got to come back from this. I really would have just walked out at that point. That was a little bit too close. That was a little bit too on the nail.
But then let me ask you this, Leonard. Okay, so Han lands on the Star Killer. Kylo Ren says, "Han." Okay, he knows Han is here. Then inside the Star Killer, when they're 10 feet apart, he can't sense them.
Okay, see, that I have a theory on.
That is the legit. Ooh, I was going to say, legit.
My theory on that, though, Matt, is that he did. He knew he was there. He was drawing him out and drawing him into the one place that apparently doesn't have fucking handrails.
Another Star Wars thing.
Yes.
Like, where if there's no inspection for the First Order, there's no no. You can't have an access.
There's no OSHA. Like, okay, that doesn't exist.
Fucking miles inside a building with no handrails. Like, that's just no. Why would you?
I call bullshit on that. I'm sorry. Like, there. Well, what? Okay, maybe that is possible. But if I was Han and I came up to that, whatever the hell that is, that cross platform that no one ever would build. How did you build that? I would just stand at the beginning of it, and be like, "I'll wait. Like, I'll wait for you to come here. Like,
come here. Dad says, come here.
Like, I'll sit here and chill. Like, let me know. I've got some popcorn going. Like, I'll wait for you to come back. Like, I'm not gonna go to the middle of this platform."
I've but got a funner like, one for you.
It's just a little silly. It's just a little. Even the thing is, like, why do I have to think that hard?
Yeah, there's that. Because the first trilogy, you never had to think this hard about any of it. It was just like, it just washed over you, and you were like, yes,
and that's
I
what
get
I'm saying.
It all.
Like, you shouldn't have to think, and I'm going from start to finish, why do I have to think this hard in a movie? Like, you know, if you wanted to draw me out, you sensed me from miles away on a planet. Yeah. So how, you could have clearly used your force, which is clearly powerful, to draw me out if you wanted to, without being like, I'm a trick him into coming closer to me. Like, no, this bullshit.
Here's,
well,
you
maybe.
Want some, something fun to cover that for you?
Love
he
it.
He couldn't deal, or he couldn't really detect him because Rey was around, and she's just throwing his force sense off the fucking scale.
I'm about to throw
like, she's like a force, like, what do they call the police scanner detectors? Like, looking,
like
and just because she's
like a,
there, he's just
like a force jammer?
Yeah, it's like she's just like fucking him up because there's never been somebody that force strong around him since he destroyed everybody at the Jedi Academy.
Okay, wait, so, I got another theory for you guys too.
Oh my God.
With
that's,
this
that's
moment,
helping. I don't know if that's actually
Matt,
true, but Star
I love
Wars,
you,
you're
Matt.
Fucking welcome.
Oh my God.
Okay, when Leia has her moment when Han dies, because at this point, yes, guys, we said it more than once. Han died because Ben killed him. Yeah.
Well,
and
you know,
if you were this far in and you just are like freaking out, you guys are you got I don't know.
You know,
you weren't listening.
We kind of I think this could tie a little to the theory earlier that Kylo is like an undercover agent because, you know, when Leia said to Han before he went like bring him home, it sounded almost like when the you know old spy movies when the CIA guys are like, all right, it's time for him to come home. Like, yeah, get him out from this fucking mission. Say whatever the code word is and like, snap him out of this.
That's interesting.
And maybe it was calling him Ben, and then it didn't really work. You know, he's like, no, I'm staying dark.
Well, my theory with this, though, with Leia, because she was just sensitive to the Force. She couldn't really use the Force, right?
She didn't want to, right? Didn't she not want to?
I thought it was just she just wasn't. It was
she didn't choose that path. She
right. So
choose,
she couldn't really use it. She didn't know how. So when Han dies and she has her moment, I have a couple of things. My question to all you guys. Did she have that moment because she felt Han die and he did have some force running through him? Is it because her son killed him and she felt his anxiety, basically.
His quickening.
Yes, there you go. Or was it because Rey was there, Rey seen it, and there was, because she is so untrained with the Force, that her emotions with screaming is, and all the emotion that she had behind it with Han, is what kind of set off this giant ripple effect, and that's what Leia felt.
You know, that's a really great
theory. Option D, all of the above.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe that Leia's the strongest of the lot. I absolutely.
Ooh,
she's the mother load.
Oh.
I likened it a lot to when Obi-Wan felt Alderaan being destroyed, and he's like, as if I felt the thousands, millions of screams that, you know, all at once were silenced. It's like this, I think it literally was getting punched three times from three different perspectives that after you listed them out like that. It's Han dying, it's Rey watching it happen, and it's Kylo feeling both good and bad about it, you know? And
you know, so here's why I don't care.
I love you, Matt.
Older she didn't have gas. It was like that.
Maybe she did have gas, and it was just like, ooh, this is an extra, like a deleted scene.
Like, what are you doing?
The reason I don't care is because the movie will never explain it.
You don't think it'll come around?
I don't think they'll explain that scene. I don't think so. And if they do, it'll be a roundabout way to where we have to have a 2-hour conversation about what the possibilities were. Like, I don't think the movie will explain it. I don't think, when I say movie, I mean facility.
Something in the next movie, she'll like, I knew the moment he died. You know, like something like that, and that'll be it. That'll be the one.
So basically, what are you saying that all of these ambiguities are basically put in there deliberately for us to sit around for an hour and a half, talk on podcasts for the next 2 years, just to pad the whole thing out so we could just keep talking
Leonard.
About Star Wars?
Yeah.
Leonard, is this your first time experiencing J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
Have you seen Fringe, Lost? I mean,
oh my god!
Or
yes.
Do you think this is all that JJ ends up listening to all these, going, "Yeah, we should write that in," because I just didn't know where to go with that.
You know, like
I'm gonna lose my shit if the next episode, because he's not directing episode 8. If episode 8 is so straightforward and so like to the point, I'm gonna lose my shit because it's like clearly JJ is just a dick. He's just a dick.
He said, like, he read the script and he's like, oh shit, I wish I was making that one. It's like, don't fucking say that! You're basically telling us that the shit we've just, like, camped out in line for is already like, oh man, mine shit sucks. Like, the next one's gonna be so fucking good!
Because, right.
Like, a real fan wrote it, you know? I mean, I love Looper. I cannot wait for the guy who did Looper to do a Star
so
Wars
good.
Movie.
So good.
You know, that's going to really, I mean, they might bring time travel into it now. Shit, we're going to go time travel.
The thing is, like, I love having these type of discussions. I can have these discussions for hours, but it's like at the end of the day, movie theaters, I'm sorry, Hollywood doesn't think the way we do. And they just want to get something out there. And questions aren't explained or answers aren't given to big questions. I mean, hell, J.J. Abrams, for the last season of Lost, they had a 2-hour special saying that they would answer all the questions in Lost. They answered 15% of the questions in Lost. Like,
and then they turned around and said, well, why the hell were you guys thinking that those were questions that needed answers? Because you fucking asked them!
And you said you would answer them. You said you would answer them in a live special. You said you would answer these questions, and you didn't.
You created a cloud of sentient black smoke. That shit is on you! You need to explain it. Don't act like I'm an asshole for wondering what the fuck it is. That's ridiculous.
like even something as simple as like why can Rey fly the Millennium Falcon so well?
Yes.
See, that I likened back to Anakin as a child.
Like just the good, awesome pilot from the get-go, which we only see kind of at the end of
that
episode.
He was able to, that he just like kind of knew how to do everything, which unfortunately they said it was midichlorians. But he can pilot, he can tinker, he can do this. That's what I took with her, that it was kind of deep down something that her mom taught her, and she remembered. She didn't really know how
She's clinging around a crashed Star Destroyer. Okay,
yeah. That doesn't make her a pilot. It doesn't make her a pilot.
But
I always thought she was working on it.
I think she like builds probably. I mean, like she knows how to dismantle that, and like.
Okay, that's, I can understand the logic between growing up as a scavenger on a planet and sort of getting the idea of how something works so you can fly it. Picking up a lightsaber and actually using the force to pull it to you and then knowing how to bloody using it. That's a whole other reach. That's something else.
Here's my theory on that. I have a theory of that.
Okay, go ahead.
This is going back to when she was having all those flashbacks and bullshit when she picked up the lightsaber in the first place at the cantina. I think what happened, Kylo Ren was basically doing his bad shit. Luke was training her. He mind wiped her, set her ass on Jakku.
Mm-hmm.
The hand that you see is not Luke's. It's Simon Pegg's character.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, the traitor.
Yeah, the traitor. And I think when she picked up the lightsaber, obviously all these flashbacks started happen, and that's when she you know, used the Force.
What flashbacks?
The Force Awakens, yeah.
What flashbacks?
In the basement of Maz's.
In the basement of the cantina.
Oh, so like she kind of like got off, like a sleeper cell?
Yeah.
She Manchurian candidated all
life. I'm sorry. No, this is bullshit. Like, this makes me so mad. Like, no. Like, no. Sorry. Because again, Leonard, take it to the next level. Then all of a sudden, a chasm opens up and saves Kylo Ren.
Yeah, well, that was a little, yeah. And like, even what? Behind that,
it took Luke years to even become a beginner at the Force, using the Force. And it took her 3 tries to get a stormtrooper to let her go.
Daniel Craig
to let her go. I'm like, come on, man. Come on.
But at the same time, it's all about that scene. And to me, what I feel like we're going to learn about her character, what I feel like they set us up to be ready to learn about her character, is that somehow she's been like this mythos enthusiast. Like, she's heard tales of these things that happened, like maybe from the fact that the Millennium Falcon was just parked on the planet with her, that like people like say, oh yeah, that's the Millennium Falcon, that guy Han Solo flew that thing. I think that blew up a Star Destroyer. You know, like, just imagine being in, like, one of those way station type places, and she's just picking up all this, recalled knowledge that's just being told in, like, stories by drunk people in cantinas and gear and shit. And so, you know, couple that with the fact that she knows there's a crashed Star Destroyer, and that's what she's getting all of her scavenging shit from. Her imagination is just like putting her in the same adventures she's heard stories about. So that's why when she meets Han Solo, she's like, holy shit, you're Han Solo. Wait, maybe the Force is real too. You know? And
yeah, I've got a poster of you on my wall.
Like, you know, I mean, like, to me, it seemed like the fact that she immediately went to undo my cuffs, it was like, it was the first time Muad'Dib uses the voice in Dune, you know what I mean?
Oh, there you go.
I'm gonna try it. And, oh my god, it's fucking working. What else can I do? You know, it's very like a Jason Bourne moment for her, you know?
Okay. See, I thought she was able to use it like right away, because when Kylo was trying to read her, she in reading turn him. Was reading him.
That woke her up. Yeah.
That it was basically his fault.
It's because he's so raw. Like, it looks like he knows how to do, like, 3 tricks. Like, this is, like, level 1 of the video game when you only know 3 moves. And it's, like, the Force, like, I can reach into your mind and fucking pull shit out. Or I can use my lightsaber. And then, I don't know, did he just stop? He stopped the laser bolt. That was the 3rd thing. We didn't really see him do a lot of Force-y stuff, whereas Vader was all Force. Like, we didn't even see him pull out his lightsaber till the end of the movie in the first trilogy.
Well, and, I mean, it already says that his training is
not,
he's got
complete.
Massive holes in it.
Right? Yeah.
It's deliberately untrained.
And I think that's actually, it bothered me during the movie, but afterwards, thinking about it, I'm like, that's pretty awesome that we're actually seeing what people like Yoda and Qui-Gon, fucking, I have to mention Qui-Gon, because to me it's like, he has put him in one fucking...
It's canon. Deal with it.
One movie, like, you never bring him back? Never? Can we see a ghost of Qui-Gon in this trilogy, please? For God's sake, make his character worth me caring about him, please. But this is what they were always afraid of, like, somebody who is this powerful, but this, like...
Untrained.
Unwieldy, yeah, like just, like, lashing out, like... But has enough to kind of, anything else? Like, after he smashes up a whole room, is there anything else? All right, I'm going to go back to my room now.
Yeah, but that's also like, I mean, he smashed up a room with brute force. Like, he didn't use the Force. Like,
right.
He just got his awesome. Saber and just...
He's just lashing out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he's just like, he literally is a going through his, like, terrible twos. Like, he's just...
Happy he doesn't know how to do lightning. Once he starts doing Force lightning, everybody's fucked. Like, just like, don't... Get off the planet.
But that doesn't explain the logic of, like, when him and Finn fought. Like, so when him, Finn, and Rey were in those woods, and Ray said something, and he pushed her to that tree again, shattering her spinal cord.
Yes.
and then Finn picked up that lightsaber, and they were fighting. I'm thinking, at any time, you could have used the Force to shatter his kneecap, like people say that he was playing with him. Maybe that's the case, but he seemed pretty angry when he pushed Rey to that walk, to that tree. So it's like, that's just enough. We're assuming he was playing with Finn.
See, I was just thinking he was actually more hurt than we've seen, because he was bleeding and he kept hitting it to make himself madder. And
that was psychological
that was man. This is definitely post 9/11. Damn.
There was another theory about that too, because I know everyone's like, well, why wasn't Kylo Ren able to defeat them or kill them? And J.J. Abrams made it a very strong point in this film, and other writers, I don't want to say it's just him, to examine Chewie's bow gun. Like, they kept having that dialogue between Han and Chewie, can I use that bow gun? Or, wow, that really exploded these people. So for Kylo to get shot in the hip, I guess, or the thigh?
The
hip. It's like, yeah, that's a very powerful weapon. But it's like, okay, you still were able to do a ton.
Yeah, Kylo's still walking around.
Yeah, while you still damaged. I mean, you were still... And also, another thing, I don't know if people paid attention to this, but I really paid attention to Rey's fighting style against Kylo Ren. And she kept doing this.
She was all stabbing.
Jabs.
She was stabbing mode.
I counted it 7 times. Lunging. She did it 7 times. Yeah, lunges or whatever. It's like fencing. I'm like, were you a fencer? Like, who choreographed this? Like, are we trying to establish that she is so novice she'll do the same moves over and over? Or is this just like a technique she likes to do?
Well, I think that was more because she always fought with a staff. That's what I took.
But also, it distinguishes her and distinguishes her style. And they've always been big on that each individual character has their own sort of like style.
Predictable style. She kept doing the same thing over and over. She did it over and over. Like, it's like, okay, this isn't... If Kylo has any brain, he'll be like, okay, she's going to do this jab one more time. I'm just going to cut her arm off. Like,
and maybe that's why I
was waiting for that to happen.
Between them so that wouldn't happen.
I was waiting for someone to lose an arm.
Apparently in this universe.
Too soon, I think, for people to be losing hands. It's always in the second movie.
We'll see who loses. All right. So, like Matt said, we can talk about this for hours on end.
You can end the recording.
Are you about to wrap it up?
No. I'm going to ask for other major theories or plot holes you guys want to discuss before we start winding down.
I have one that I feel like I thought this in the theater. I don't know if you guys thought the same thing, but it does relate to the High Leader Snoke. Is anybody, and this would be the only place really then that the prequel trilogy would have been mentioned. There's actually a video on YouTube about it that shows comparing the musical cues, because that's a big deal.
Yep.
We're going to talk about how Snoke could be Darth Plagueis the Wise, or could be the apprentice that we heard of. I always thought that in episode 3 it was very heavily implied that Palpatine was the apprentice of Darth Plagueis the Wise, who thought he killed him in his sleep, but maybe was not successful or what. But I feel like if Lando is Finn's father, then that guy has to be Plagueis the Wise. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he is. It's just the similarities. I have the hardcover book, actually, of Darth Plagueis.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know there was one. Fuck.
Yeah. It's like going for $90 on eBay for some reason.
Oh, my God.
Ouch.
Because I'm not buying that, then.
And the similarities are almost, like, exact to Darth Plagueis to General Snoke. So I think he's Darth Plagueis in disguise. And speaking of General Snoke, his height, according to Andy Serkis, he's about a 7-foot tall character. He's not going to be Yoda. He's going to be like a 7-foot tall character.
Hmm.
So he's still compensating.
Yeah.
He's still doing it.
So, does this then go back to what we know about him from the legend that Palpatine said, that somehow the midichlorians have kept him alive and are rebuilding him, like the Transcendence nanobots?
I wouldn't say that. My personal theory is that I think they cherry picked a little bit from the extended universe with I think they mixed the character of General Snoke. If it turns out to be true, if it is Darth Plagueis, I think they mixed some Darth Bane in there, because in the books, the extended universe, Darth Bane, he's canon actually.
Oh man.
Yeah, he's in Star Wars Rebels.
Okay, we need to WikiLeaks all this.
Yeah, I know.
And what he was able to do, Darth Bane was able to transfer his spirit into other living beings. Mm. And he created the rule of two. So maybe that's actually Darth Bane in disguise. Who knows?
So what's the rule of two?
There can only be a learner and a master?
Yeah, learner and a master.
As described in a certain episode one, sir.
So wait, so you're saying there's never supposed to be more than like two Sith running around at any time?
Yeah, the Sith were basically gigantic back in before the Old Republic, and Darth Bane didn't want that because they're growing, like rising to power and all this crap. So he basically destroyed the entire Sith temple and took on a new apprentice and said, "Okay, we're starting from scratch. This is going to be the new rule of two. One apprentice, one master."
Okay, but they already killed that in the first... Was it the first episode? Episode one. Duh, I can't even use words.
Well, that's supposed
because
to be...
Because you had...
Palpatine's downfall, you know?
Yeah, because you had Darth Maul...
Breaking the rules.
And Palpatine, and you had Grievous, and you had...
Grievous was...
Dooku.
Really a Force.
Grievous wasn't a Sith.
He's not even a Force.
Yeah, he never used the Force. He just collected lightsabers.
Didn't he? Was he magnetic then? Because I think didn't they show him pull Obi-Wan and Anakin's lightsabers from their utility belts and put them in his coat without touching them?
Yeah, but there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions about Grievous.
I thought Grievous could use the Force. So I was like, oh shit! Like, see, that was goddamn with that first trilogy.
I think with Grievous, he was in training, if I remember correctly, but he didn't want to do it, and he was basically a gigantic bug without all this armor and stuff, and then some stuff happened, and that's how he got all the armor and shit.
Then you have to watch the cartoons to see him get his ass kicked, and that's why he's choking in the whole episode three.
Oh, meth is a hell of a drug.
It's from the ABQ.
Okay. Any other theories or plot holes? Chris, you have any?
I don't know if you guys noticed this. It almost looks like Finn felt through the Force one time. When he's getting on that ship and the Starkiller is fired and he hears the like screaming that has kind of an echoey, almost like it's coming through the Force. And he runs back, nobody's screaming. I was like, was he hearing those planets through the Force? Or was I reading too much into this, but at the same time...
If midichlorians are the Force, what if you were around Force people so much that they jump onto you and you become Force strong? Like,
so
what
they're
if,
like ticks?
I say, does it mean Lando had the Force and Han had the Force and everyone's got the Force now? The Force is some going around shit like herpes at a swinger party.
Oh my God.
Well, Chris, I mean, to bring it, like to elaborate on that too, Chris, I remember that scene and I was thinking that one, Lucasfilms did a great job in misleading of the trailers, because the whole time we were like, Finn has the lightsaber. I never once thought Rey would be the one. So that was a great twist, but it was also like, okay, maybe he is Force sensitive. That's just something that we'll find out further down. But it just seems like Finn is definitely Han 2.0.
Well, they all talk about how Finn was 100% compliant with all orders until this day. So,
but what did he do before this?
Well, that's what he was. He was
in sanitation.
But this was his first mission. Yeah, he did actually say that this is his. But before I went down to this planet, this was my first time. This is
so. Yeah, if you're not actually killing anybody, you can be compliant.
I went from cleaning toilets to picking up a blaster. It's the potential for advancement in this organization is amazing.
I wonder if they have a pension and a 401k.
They don't have handrails, Ian. Come on,
damn it.
Then they're small. That's it. You know, the first order's not that big yet. But if we're going janitor right to stormtrooper, like planet wide, like.
Right.
Do they live in a treehouse? They must live in a treehouse.
Is this everything about this movie? Like, when you break the movie down...
Yeah, it does sound like we're shutting like up.
No. I don't think... I guess we kind of are, but a movie this big is asking for it. You know, this is a lot, has a lot to live up to. Mm-hmm. We have been looking forward to a reboot, I should say, quote-unquote, or an extension of the universe for a very long time. And when you break the film down, it's like, damn, this movie... Again, I stick with what I said. If this was any other movie... This movie would have got shit on.
Yes.
Well, this would have been a Terminator Genesis size.
Right. But very
colossal.
Wow.
People are really dogging this film out. I'm not saying the movie was bad, but I stick with the fact that I give it a solid B minus. That's borderline C. Like, it's, there are so many questions, and I shouldn't have to go and be like, hey Chris, you read the comics. Like, what does this mean? Like, no. Like, I shouldn't have to be forced to invest all this money, because it is money, into all of this education. When I can just go see the films, I should be able to have the universe isolated into those films.
Mm. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt.
I concur.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just my soapbox, but I support the film. I think the film, for what it was great.
Well, I mean, like, you know, we've been burned before, you know, I mean, I know waiting for that episode one after Duel of the Fates came out, you're just like, oh my God, double-sided lightsaber, this is gonna be fucking amazing! And then you're like, thank God we at least saw it for a few minutes at the end of the movie, because I was pissed. By the time we were at the end of that movie, I'm like, fuck, ugh, such bullshit, just didn't feel like Star Wars. This felt like Star Wars. This was like, yes, all right. Uh-huh. It's like, this is what those should have been. And I kind of feel like for all of the actors in it, they must have been like, yeah, why didn't we do this 10 years ago? You know, like all of us would have looked a lot better, you know, would have felt like more fun. Now everything's like, yo, make sure you have your numbered copy of the script and that you turn it in at the end of each day of filming, because the fucking internet is ruining movies these days. People are spoiling and leaking shit, and then we have to reshoot and change it because they figured out the ending already. Like, God, calm down, you know?
I tell you what I really loved about this film was the fact, and you're saying about how it feels like Star Wars and it feels like the original trilogy. When you watch the original trilogy, there's a set. It was shot somewhere, and there's a set. You watch the prequel trilogy, and it feels like you're watching a cutscene. Yeah, okay, I'm an apologist, but it feels like you're watching something very artificial. There was not a shot in The Force Awakens that felt like it was being filmed on a green screen anywhere.
Very practical. Yeah, very practical.
Yeah.
And
I hope they do it for part eight.
I loved it. Oh, God, yeah. I loved it.
I've established that they're going, you know, to me, like, by doing that for this movie, you establish that that's got to be the baseline going forward. Like, the only thing I will forgive being completely computer-generated is a spaceship dogfight. You know, like, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah,
you don't have
of course.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and a large chasm with a walkway with no... handrails.
But I mean, also, you know, I know JJ was a big proponent or big pusher of practical effects. He wanted to get back to the original filming or concept of Star Wars, and it was really pushed across all social media that it was JJ's idea. But I think, you know, even though he's leaving, he's not doing eight, he left this mark, and I think that they're going to that Disney's gonna be like, we're gonna keep that, because it'll be really stupid of them to be like, well, we really liked episode 1, 2, and 3 style, so we're going to go back to that CGI shit. Like, I doubt they'll do that.
God, I hope not.
I hope not.
But can we also bring up this really quick?
Yes.
How George Lucas, when he signed this $5 billion deal, that with this deal came 3 scripts, and 3 people read them at Disney, and they threw them all out.
Yeah,
so I'm really curious to know.
I really want to see those scripts are.
They weren't
someone
like
done that about 10 years ago at Fox.
It was, and it wasn't. You know? They weren't like contingent. Like, these scripts have to be made. It was sort of like, all right, here's the stuff. And by the way, I had ideas for 3 more movies. And they're like, yeah, thanks. Get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, you just signed your deal. Get out. We're not doing this bull. Jar Jar's Revenge. No, we're not.
in an interview he just did very recently, even bringing up the term white slaves.
I saw that. He
retracted that statement. But the things he said before was that, yeah, he already did sign the deal. I mean, Dave, you're absolutely right. He did sign that deal, and he did have 3 scripts after. 3 people read them. 3 very high-level Disney people read them, threw them out very politely. Then they offered him a seat – to advise on the films, and then that was thrown out. So
because it's like he's George Lucasing them up. You know what I mean? Like everybody says, you know, A New Hope, George Lucas wrote and directed that. And I was just reading an article that talked about I should link it or something and find it. I forget because I have like five of them open. But it was talking about how when he made Star Wars, A New Hope, he was limited by the budget he had. He was limited by what he was able to do. And then when we get to Phantom Menace, that's completely unbridled, untamed, untempered Lucas.
Yep.
It shows his lack of creativity.
Right.
Yeah, I think they did better, like, maybe taking some broad strokes.
He's choked by the force from across the galaxy. He hears me talking about
this. No, I completely agree. I mean, look at, I'm not trying to, like, throw other people under the bus, but look at Josh Trank. I mean, he did an amazing Chronicle film and then just completely shit. On Fantastic Four.
Oh God, but, I haven't even seen.
But listen,
that horrible film.
Avoid.
Don't see it. Wait till it's like buy for free, like when it's a giveaway at Best Buy. But when you go
on cable soon, so I'll like.
But when you see Chronicle, he had Josh Trank had a limited budget, and he had a great idea, and the film ended up being amazing. It ended up being a really great film. That's why Fox was like, "Hey, you should do Fantastic Four." And then he has this huge budget, and he just destroys the film. And George Lucas is the same way, just three times the age. And maybe like one time.
I mean, like,
one
and
a half
time. We give Hayden Christensen a lot of shit for how bad he was in those movies.
Oh, he was awful.
But, you know, when you think about the fact that they are all just showing up every day in costumes, walking around in front of giant green walls... And George, who, I mean, there are interviews with Alec Guinness. There are interviews with Ian Daniels, Sir Alec Guinness and Sir Ian Daniels, forgive me, guys, where they talk about how he's not an actor's director. Like, he's a special effects guy. You know, he would say, all right, there's a monster coming at you and you're scared. And they're like, well, what is it?
Oh,
he's like,
God,
well,
that was such a good impression. That was so good.
It's the only one, apparently. I'm going to be force choked if I try it again. Sorry, guys. I've been fighting this cold for a week. And, you know, they would talk about how he's just like, you know, he would say stuff and they would be like, okay, well, what do you mean? He'd be like, oh, we're going to add it later. We're going to add it later and just do this. And they'd be like, okay, you know, and like just imagine that as like, all right, you're Darth Vader and you're fighting and there's fire all around you and go.
He's gonna make the room warm just so you can sweat.
But he would then sit down with his coffee and be like, "Oh, that's not exactly what I was thinking, but we'll fix it later." It's fine.
Okay, I'm gonna start a podcast where George Lucas answers questions. You're hired, dude.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
I just I'm sorry. I'm being thrown by that impression.
That's awesome. Thank you. I'm now blushing.
No, I think you're absolutely right. It's just like you have a great idea, but he's not a great executioner.
No, he's not.
And exactly. He's a great idea man, but his execution is horrible.
But I mean, then again, his great idea gave him $5 billion additional dollars. So
right. I don't think he's crying too much.
No,
he's bitching now.
Well, you know, in his defense, because when people say that, I do get a little irritated, only because it is his idea. And no matter what you do to it or sell with it, you still have every right to give your opinion. I don't consider it bitching. I think it's still having an opinion. If you created something and
your
you
baby.
Sold it, it's your baby.
Well, I quite like the comments he was making that the whole thing feels very much like a wedding or a marriage, and that now the other half has moved on and is now dating somebody else. And, oh, I've been invited to the wedding.
Yeah, like, yeah, why would
I do that? But then again, you can still bitch about your other half.
Right.
You can still bitch about the ex.
Like, I'm still bitching, but I don't like, I disagree with people that say, you know, he shouldn't be bitching because he got paid all this money. It doesn't matter. It's still his idea. And even, you know, when he was in the interview a couple of days ago, he said, the first time he saw the footage was when everyone else saw the footage, the trailer. Like, so he was like, it looks good. Like, it looks all right. It looks good. It looks great. You know, I can't wait to see it. But it must really suck. And I do feel for him that he can't be in the writer's room or at least, like, on the set to see, like, what's happening.
Have you ever read any of the articles? I know, you know, it's cracked.com, I think, is the one it comes to mind first. But that talk about how, you know, how he really came up with these ideas and was like, you know, Han Solo is going to be this giant lizard guy, and, you know, like, there's all these, like, really crazy sort of concepts for the artwork. And there was someone else who completely, like, re-envisioned it with the storyboards, and that's what we actually all fall in love with.
Like, that's Ralph McQuarrie. That's Ralph McQuarrie.
Yeah,
actually, there's a comic book, Star Wars comic book that came out. It was the original vision that George Lucas had with Han Solo as a lizard, and it's very political, they said.
Yeah, and there was Huffington Post published an article about this along with all the concept art, and originally everyone was wielding a lightsaber. And the only thing that George Lucas did right, it wasn't his idea, it was whoever the artist was. I forget his name. But George Lucas was like, no, I only want Jedis to wield them, and the dark side, Siths to wield lightsabers. But isn't that, like, that's not his, he didn't draw any of that. That's not his, this is just ideas. This is just dreams. Like, I dream of Han Solo as his own planet, like, floating around with Luke. Like, shit like that. Like, no.
I dream of Jedi. But it's interesting that, like, he's still... It's like his concept is the characters. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't, you know, his vision isn't what we fell in love with, but like what he wanted these characters to go through, like what their emotional story was, is still his, you know? So it's.
You can't take that away from him.
Yeah. It's hard, though, to reconcile it when you're like, how could you be that cool and then that lame at the same
time? Yeah. I completely agree, but you cannot take away that. And that's why I'm saying, like, when people are like, you know, he shouldn't have an opinion. Yeah, he can. He can have as much. His opinion is one of the most valuable, even though his conceptual
His opinion is as valid as ours.
Exactly.
But, I mean, when it comes to, like, materializing.
Yeah, well, he's unfortunately not going to be able to tell them exactly, what they need to do. But he had his chance. And made a lot of fans very sad.
Mm-hmm. I had to think whether or not I liked episode one. That's sad.
Yeah.
Right.
Every time I watch them, I watch a machete style. I don't even do. I do a 4, 5, 2, 3, 6. I don't even watch episode one.
It has no value.
It adds no value to the Someone created machete style, and when you watch it that way, it adds episode one adds no value. You don't need to watch that movie. And no one likes Jar Jar is a terrible addition. So 4, 5, 2, 3, 6 is all you need.
I
have a question. Was anyone else hoping they would show, like, the skull of Jar Jar in the first scene or having him get decapitated?
To hear, like, worldwide applause all at the same exact moment.
Yeah. I was really hoping for that.
Okay, so what are you hoping for now for episode 8? What's everyone hoping for?
Answers.
Well, that's the big thing, of course. Answers.
To see what that look on Luke's face meant. Was he like Leia trying to hold in a fart, or was he like, oh my god?
Oh, you mean the telenovela moment?
This is my daughter, or oh my god, a lightsaber, I'm gonna vomit. You know, like, what did that look mean? Why?
Shit, I still gotta pay child support.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I will say, for as awesome as Jedi are, the idea that they go into exile once shit gets really bad pisses me off.
Like, they run away.
Like, even Yoda, it's just like, dude, so shit went horribly wrong. What do? Run away and let everybody suffer for decades? What the fuck is this? There'll be a new hope. One day there'll be a new hope.
It gives me the vision that they're just foundational cowards. I've always thought that. Especially when I saw this one, I was like, why are you in exile? And then why are you, like, leaving? It's like a needy victim. Like, I'm going to leave breadcrumbs to find me, but I want to be left alone. Like, what? Like, what message are you sending exactly? Like,
it's almost like, how dare you have the audacity to say, I need to go on a hero's journey to fucking get the cachet to talk to you, when you, who are already a hero, are walking away when people need you most. Right. Like, you guys are dicks. One of us finally has to be... like a semi-good, semi-bad, like a half and half, so that they can referee this shit from now on.
That's why the Empire has so many fans. This is why people love the Bad Boys.
Yeah.
This is, yeah. Then again, that's what I want from the next one. I want the Knights of Ren.
That's all I want. I want episode 8 just to be focused on. Now, if you drop, now, Chris, if they drop a Knights of Ren novel or book,
I would be on that.
Because the screenshot alone of them in that storm, I was like, yes. And I already know who I'm cosplaying as.
Yeah, it's coming. I guarantee you something's coming, but they're going to go a long way around it. It's going to be like the Journey to the Shattered Empire. It's like, oh, this is going to have something major about it. No, it's just kind of, hey, what were Poe's parents up to within the 6 months following Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, that's the one thing I was really desperately hoping was not going to show up in this film. Force trees. What? Force trees. Yeah.
Now, wait, where is that from, since I'm ignorant of some of the...
That's Shattered Empire.
Oh, good lord.
Luke goes looking for the Force tree the Emperor took.
Oh.
We won't even talk about that. We're going to move on.
Like, see, that's the kind of shit where I'm like, now I just have to go watch A New Hope to pretend that just didn't happen. what just transpired right here, I'm like, oh, I need a shower. That's so fucking retarded. I'm sorry.
It's the Force tree. It's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's just...
it's a fucking end.
You can have the fucking weirwoods in Game of Thrones, but now... Force trees? Like, okay. Alright.
Maybe George did help write the script.
Yeah, seriously. That's bullshit right there.
A particular website, I would link this to everybody, but a particular website got their hands on a script of The Force Awakens, and it gives better detail to the last scene of the film the way that Luke was looking at her, like what it was trying to convey.
That it was a tortured look, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. I just had the whole telenovela thing.
Like he ate the spiciest meatballs.
Yeah.
And they were like on the edge of blowing his back out. He was like, you came at the wrong time.
This is the puke cliff. You at the puke cliff.
I thought he was having a whiz off that. I thought he was having a wee off that. He was interrupted.
I wish you had gotten here 2 seconds earlier. I just drank the black goo from Prometheus. I'm about to dissolve. Whatever you need, I'm not going to be able to give you. Good luck. Like, that's what's going to happen in the first 5 minutes of the next movie, and Mark Hamill will still get top billing.
That's horrible.
I know.
What was it?
Harrison Ford got top billing, didn't he?
Oh, did he? I thought that Mark Hamill
got top billing. I think he got like $20 million or $30
million. Say it again?
I think Harrison Ford got top billing. I think he got like 20 or 30
no,
million.
No, that is confirmed. He got the highest billing, and he got a percentage of the gross.
Harrison Ford did?
Oh, don't sign that.
Harrison Ford did. Okay. So, mind you, Harrison does not want to do any of these films, and that's the only reason he did the film is because he got top billing, and he got, I think, 3% of the gross, which clearly is.
The last guy who took that deal is still waiting on his money from Return of the Jedi.
Guy I did that was Keanu Reeves, and he doesn't have to do a movie ever again.
Yeah.
Matrix. I'm still waiting for Bill and Ted.
Star Wars.
Oh, Star Wars, yeah, that's true. But yeah, evidently one of the executive producers said that everyone is returning for episode 8.
Oh, everyone. Yeah, so that means flashbacks.
I knew exactly when Han Solo was going to die. It's when Harrison Ford walked out on stage at San Diego Comic-Con and he was smiling.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but when Harrison Ford is happy, you know that Han Solo's dead. It's as simple as that.
That's true, because he didn't want to be part of it. He wanted him to die back in...
In Jedi, right? Didn't he
want
to die?
Yeah.
In Jedi.
Empire. End of Empire.
Alright, guys, anyway. So we're going to wrap this up because we've gone on for a bit and we can probably go on much longer.
We should.
Just turn off the recording and we'll keep
the podcast awakens.
All right. So, final thoughts. We're going to go around the room. So, final thoughts on Keep It Short. Ian?
Okay. I'm chubby, but okay. Awesome film. Can't wait for Rogue One and Episode 8.
Leonard?
I absolutely loved it. I would probably go back and see it again, and I'm hoping for some ants. In episode 8.
Christopher?
Yeah, I was... Even with the problems, it's still a great movie. Just that it would be nice if we got more answers that weren't comic or book or TV show related were actually in the movie itself.
Dave?
When I got home from seeing it, I instantly was pissed that I didn't already own it on Blu-ray to be able to watch it like, many times that night. So I'm in it to win it, to see more, see this episode again, see new episodes that continue this story. I probably am not as excited about the spin-offs or side ones, the anthology ones, but you know what? If this is the world we have to live in with this kind of Star Wars, it's cool. They got their sexy back.
Matt?
Dave? You are like my spirit twin. Everything you said, we're going to
Dave the clone.
But I thought it was, for what it was a good movie. I completely agree with what you also said, Dave. When I left the movie the first time, I was like, I already own this movie on whatever the most expensive platform, yep. Blu-ray, digital, because I think this has solidified me as an invested Star Wars fan now. Mm. Like, yeah. Actually fanboy versus like a third party, like outside the group, so...
I did like this. I am excited to see what answers they come up with, and hopefully they will be able to answer some of the questions. Hopefully. And that they don't just kind of leave us dangling out there.
They're all in a church.
Okay, well, guys, thank you so much for joining me, and we are going to go around the room again so everybody can tell the listeners where they can find you guys. And... whatever platforms you were on. So let's start with the West Coast. Ian.
Yes, this is Ian from the Geek Uprising. You could find me on Facebook, Twitter, Admiral Chewy. And for platforms, Xbox One, Woody King Pickle.
Okay. Matt.
You can find me on the Blurreds on Nerds podcast and also on Twitter and Facebook at Blurreds on Nerds. And, yeah, that's it.
Chris?
You can find me on several of the Nerd Element podcasts, including TV Talk, and on Twitter and Instagram at Hooligan10.
Dave?
You can find me on the, by the time this is airing, you'll be the newly launching Holonine podcast. We're going to be on holonine.podomatic.com. That's the word hollow, the number 9, followed by I-N-E. We like to do things very differently. We are at HoloNineCast on Twitter. I'm also at Dave the Clone on Twitter. And our Facebook page is currently under construction, but will be there soon.
Leonard?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at EnglishmanSDCC. You can find me on Google Plus, Facebook, pretty much most platforms. But the best place to find out what I'm up to is at anenglishmaninsandiego.com. And also every Sunday we have ourselves the Cup of Tea, or Talking Comic-Con, a Cup of Tea with an Englishman in San Diego podcast, which goes out live on Google Plus and YouTube. And we have a new run of that starting on Sunday the 10th.
Yes.
I know. I've taken a couple of weeks off and... quite frankly, I've enjoyed the break, but I'm looking forward to getting back into it. So, yeah, we're getting those up and running. That will be 10 o'clock West Coast, 1 p.m. East Coast, and 6 p.m. GMT.
Okay, and I'm Sean Fangirl S, and you can find me on fangirlzone.com. Our email, if you want to send us anything, is fangirlzonepodcast@gmail.com. We are on Facebook under Fangirlzone. Twitter, Instagram, I just have it under mine, which is Jetta528, which come join me and talk about various television shows. Right now I'm really into the sci-fi show Expanse and have been lucky enough to have, you know, the cast tweet back and forth and talk with
me. It's so good. It's such a good show.
And,
did they see your interview with them by then, chance? Did they watch
yes,
the video?
Yep. I believe they have. I know Cass Anvar has, and he's retweeted that one for me. Because we have our YouTube channel, just the Fangirl Zone. And come check it out. And I'm
in
super
association
excited.
With Hollow Nine.
It is. Because Dave does all my awesome video editing, and he's had like 10,000 pieces put on him at one time.
Dave rules.
So, guys, again, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you, everybody, for finding us and listening, and we really appreciate it. Check out all these guys on their various podcasts, and come back and check out Fangirl Zone, and check out all of my photos from the billions of cons that I feel like I've gone to. And we're going to keep bringing you everything throughout the year from various cons, and again, thank you guys. Hopefully we'll have you guys back on soon. So until next time, this is Sean Fangirl S coming from the Fangirl Zone. Bye.
May the force be with
Take
you.
Bye. Bye.
Midichlorians rule.
Oh, God.